The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru remote studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to this Thursday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. What a show we have put together. Okay, I'm willing to sacrifice for COVID-19. But one of the restrictions they put into place today is about the most insane that I've ever seen. And so we will tell you about that in just a couple of minutes when Captain Tom Nelson from the Outdoor Line tells me what they are doing to fishermen in this state. It is pure insanity. But first, Jay Inslee just finished a press conference. Let's get to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
So if you were just listening to 97.3 Cairo FM, Jay Inslee, really the most important part is that we have flattened the curve in Washington, that we have slowed down the spread. That doesn't mean it's going in the right direction. It means that the rate of increase is slowing, which is the whole purpose of us staying at home, of all of these businesses being closed, of, frankly, the economic devastation that a lot of our family and neighbors and friends are dealing with right now. But he says the rate has slowed, but he also says this at-home quarantine, and that's not exactly what it is. It's not really a quarantine. It's a shelter in place. It's stay at home, what they call it, stay home, stay healthy. But here is what Jay Inslee told us if you are just tuning in the press conference just completed.
Now, I do have some hopeful news. We know that this is still a dire challenge. We know this is a fateful disease. We know that we have not turned the corner, and we are not even close to the end of this battle. But we do think there's some evidence that our community mitigation strategies, the things we've done already to close schools, to close restaurants and theaters, to prohibit gatherings, we think these things have been able to slow the rate of increase in King, Snohomish, and Pierce counties.
Okay, so that's a good thing if we're flattening the curve, slowing the rate of increase. But then we get to this, and as I said, I think a lot of us are willing to make sacrifices if they make sense. Like, for example, it doesn't make any sense to me to close the schools to the children, but then open the schools up for childcare, where the children can rub their snotty nose on each other, and they can bring it home to grandma and grandpa. Doesn't make any sense. But because of political correctness, we're closing the schools, but we're also opening the schools for childcare. Also, it makes no sense to me when they said they want most kids in the state doing some online learning beginning on Monday. But then we find out, well, if 1% of the kids can't get online, then the district's not going to do it. Now, the solution to that, if you have any common sense, would be figure out who those 1% are and bring them a Chromebook with an air card. It'd be a lot cheaper to pay for an air card for 3 or 4 weeks than to have, you know, tens of thousands of kids sitting at home, not learning, while the teachers are getting paid and sitting at home and not teaching. Why wouldn't we just provide air cards for the kids who don't have internet access? But again, political correctness is killing us. Their attitude is, oh no, if one kid can't get online, then we won't do any online learning. So that's one example of many, but I got another one for you. This one drove me insane when it came down last night. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, as you might imagine, as this thing, this COVID-19 and quarantining, as it goes on and on, I think we are all, to some extent, going a little bit more crazy. And I think our politicians are leading the pack of craziness. So this morning, I got a text message from a politician I have a lot of respect for. And he said, this is just BS. Because the State Department of Fish and Wildlife and Jay Inslee have just decided that in order to fight COVID-19, Washington State needs to ban recreational fishing. And as you know, anytime I have a fishing issue that comes across my bow, I get it, I turn to Captain Tom Nelson from the Outdoor Line, who took me fishing up in Sitka last spring and joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Captain Tom, how are you, sir?
Well, I was pretty good up until my phone started blowing up yesterday afternoon with word of, as you indicated, a complete recreational fishing closure in the state of Washington, which, in my opinion, is completely, completely ridiculous.
Well, let's talk about how ridiculous this is. I understand we don't want, you know, 50 people packed into a karaoke bar happy hour. I understand we didn't want to have 2,000 people elbow to elbow on the beach at Alki last weekend, but I'm really trying to understand how, if you want to go out fishing on Puget Sound by yourself, that you have somehow become a public health risk.
Well, you, as you indicated coming into this segment, Dory, the COVID-19 epidemic here has now become an excuse for CYA 2020 with all our politicians. They're looking at covering themselves in any way, shape, or form. And this is just, it's insanity. It really is. And the sad part of this story is, as a sport fishing community right now, we have to walk a very, very fine line, with, especially with regard to our salmon fisheries, with respect to the Endangered Species Act. And so all these seasons that we have to fish our beloved salmonids within the state of Washington are carefully negotiated. They're orchestrated between the federal restrictions mandated by the Endangered Species Act listing of Chinook in 1999 and worked with the co-managers. So we work within a harvest framework. And now we're losing this opportunity due to this completely arbitrary and capricious act by Governor Inslee now. And like you said, how can we possibly be farther away from anybody else than being in a boat on Puget Sound or on the shore of a river where you are not standing elbow to elbow? It is the very definition of social distancing, and it's a healthy outdoor activity. So you got me, partner. I am completely flabbergasted by this latest extreme move by Olympia.
Here's what I'm fearing here, Tom. We're talking with Tom Nelson from the Outdoor Line. Here's what I'm fearing. I believe that they may be slowly trying to drive us all insane, because then we'll be easier to control when we've all slipped into the addles of dementia. Because, I mean, if you take away the things that are wholesome and healthy and life-affirming. I have never been as life-affirmed as when you took me with Brock up salmon fishing in Sitka last spring. And now they're saying, no, just sit in your four walls. Forget about nature. Forget about the renewal of your soul. And I think by the end of all of this, Tom, they want to just crush us to the point where we will be so easily controlled and manipulated. Well, it'll be like a scene out of Cuckoo's Nest.
I think I kind of harken back to that scene in The Matrix where somebody wakes up as a human battery and unplugs himself and stuff like that. I think kind of that's where they want us all to end up in as little tiny batteries to plug in. I don't know, Dory. It's so nuts. But here's the thing. Fishing is a healthy activity. It's something that families can do together and gather food. I mean, you know, there's going to be more people in a grocery store buying potato chips and pop than there are out on the water catching a healthy fish to eat with its, you know, omega-3 oils and everything. I mean, you know, you and I did share a couple wonderful days in Sitka with Brock, and it did. It awoken something in your Norwegian DNA that I saw you really have a moment and enjoy yourself. And of course, that's why it popped up on the Outdoor Lines YouTube channel not too long ago, your first and second salmon right there. But I yes. For the life of me, I really can't figure out what this would possibly benefit. And so we need to put some pressure on WDFW. I actually spoke to a friend of mine that's an enforcement officer for WDFW this morning, and it puts our enforcement personnel in an untenable, impossible position trying to explain to people why this makes sense. It's impossible to explain it, Dory, because it doesn't make any sense. Folks want to get outside. They want to enjoy the natural beauty of the Pacific Northwest, and now we're told that we can't get on a stream or get in our boat and go do it. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I mean, I understand that that we are in a difficult time. We're virtually in uncharted waters with regard to sure. the COVID-19, you know, epidemic that we're experiencing. However, we have to come at this with some common sense, and common sense is in extremely short supply in Olympia these days.
And not only that, Tom, but I don't know if you've ever taken anybody out fishing who has employed social fish distancing as much as I did, because, I mean, even when it wasn't cool, because as you and Brock discovered, I cannot urinate into a tub within 40 feet of another man, and your boat was only 35 feet long. And so if anybody believes in social fish distancing, it's me. And even though we all employed that last spring, that wasn't enough to stave off this ridiculous Fish and Wildlife order today.
Well, now you've given me a couple things to react to there, and I'll try to shy away from your shy bladder syndrome right now, because you know, the ability to jump in the head of the 30-foot Duckworth and do your business was nice. But I agree with you. We've got to put some pressure on WDFW. And so right now this ruling extends, I believe, Dory, through April 4th, which is kind of the general quarantine period that we're in. But I'm so glad that President Trump earlier this week came out and made a statement about Easter. And, hey, look, the fact that we don't want to make the cure or at least the actions that we're taking against COVID-19, we can't make the actions that we're taking have a more detrimental effect. We can't allow the cure to be worse than the disease. And right now, that's 100% the action that Olympia is taking. There's absolutely no epidemiological evidence that they have that can show that you being out on a boat with a family member that you're living with could possibly spread this disease. It's amazing to me.
Is it possible, and I don't know the wildlife of the seas the way you do, Tom, but is it possible that an eagle flying above your boat could swoop down, grab one person's COVID-19, and then fly it over and drop it onto a boat 200 meters away, and all of a sudden we're in the middle of an outbreak again? Is that possible?
You know, That is one amazing and improbable disease vector that I've really not considered. And you're
That's
right.
That's what I'm here
Dory.
For.
An eagle could fly over. I think the disease vectors and the pathogenic path of this, if you will, we need to kind of look at where this all started in the wet markets in Asia. And
yes.
You know, it's something has to be done about this, because some knucklehead was trying to sell some food somewhere along the line, and a bat dripped something onto a chicken, which dripped it onto a weasel, which I don't know. So I can't discount then the fact that an eagle could fly over the boat and I could sneeze or cough, and then we'd right. send the disease vector across several other species. But that's the craziness to which Olympia has placed us in these days. So, you know, Governor Inslee, WDFW Commissioner Susa Wynn, or excuse me, WDFW Director Susa Wynn has to take a more realistic look at this and let us go outside, because as the weather gets nicer, Dory, only more and more people are going to want to go outside and experience the magnificence of the Pacific Northwest. But now I'm looking at my own show now that I'm doing Saturday morning, and this is the first time in my 15 years on air that we haven't had an open season to discuss. There's nothing more useless than a fisherman that can't fish. And that's where I find myself right now, man.
Oh, man. Well, look, I think we all agree that whatever reasonable measure of shared sacrifice we are all willing to take, and let's find the balance between the health and the economy. But this makes no sense, and I'll be the first one. Well, no, you apparently are the first one. I'm just jumping on board your bandwagon here. But to say, if you're going to start imposing things that make no scientific sense just for the sake of controlling the human population, I think we should all be wary of that.
Could not agree with you more, Dory. And I tell you what, if this extends past the April 4th deal, I think you may see some social misofficients we're going to see some misbehavior out there, and that's certainly not what we want to see. You know, social disobedience and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know what's going to go on, but it's a difficult time for everybody. I completely agree. And we've got to hunker down, but we got to hunker down within reason.
Amen, brother. All right. You can hear Tom Nelson on The Outdoor Line, and you can see it at theoutdoorline.com. You still got my video up of me catching my first ever salmon?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm editing the halibut portion of your Sitka trip. So not only do we have your first salmon on video on the Outdoor Lines YouTube channel, but we have have a few halibut coming on board too with you holding on to the rod there, buddy.
Just for the halibut. Okay. All right. Go check them out at theoutdoorline.com. Tom Nelly Nelson. Tom, love talking with you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thanks for your time, Dory. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
God bless you as well. And man, it's weird to think about how the world has changed in less than a year, because it was less than a year ago when I was sailing through the Inside Passage up there near Sitka with Tom and Brock. And I tell you what, I had a spiritual moment. I mean, it was we were listening to Tom has this fantastic playlist and a great sound system, and we're in the most stunning beauty imaginable. And I remember as we're just kind of silently, not really talking, just listening to the music, sailing through the most gorgeous part of our earth imaginable. And I remember I was sitting in between Tom and Brock, and I put my arms around them. I said, I love you guys. It was just one of those moments, those bonding, and like I said, life-affirming moments. And so when I heard today that they're telling fishermen they can't go out, that doesn't make any sense. Makes zero sense to me. And I'm looking at all the text messages and from the 360. Let me get this straight. They keep the pot shops open, but they close down the fishing. Yeah. And why is that? Why is that? Because the state's already made its money on the fishing licenses. They don't get huge tax revenues when you hook a decent-sized fish, but they make money on every transaction at a marijuana shop. Oh, I'm sorry. It's medicinal, those marijuana shops, right? I keep forgetting about that. It's essential. And so it's all about money. And if decisions are being made for financial reasons rather than public health, We all got to question that. And then I'm getting other emails saying, Dory, what kind of socialist waters are we sailing into if this is the kind of stuff they're doing now? I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of other states that are doing this that are not nearly as liberal as us. And so everyone seems to be caught up in this game. But my vow to you is I will be at the vanguard and I will be vigilant. And if they try stripping away our rights in the name of one public health crisis, I and you, I mean, we together will stand up against it. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
34 minutes until Wall Street closes and the Dow is having its third consecutive fantastic day. And so the Dow is up about 800 points. We'll keep you posted on that. Things looking good nationally. Big time guess. Oh, it's up 940 now. Dow's up 940. Dr. Drew, who's one of the early critics saying that this was all media hype. Dr. Drew Pinsky. He is going to join us. That is coming up next as the Dory Monson Show keeps rolling on this Monday afternoon. Well, we're always looking for sources of information or interesting perspective as we all battle through this COVID-19 plague together. And one guy nationally who has been very vocal right from the get-go is Dr. Drew Pinsky, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Dr. Drew, pleasure to have you on. Thanks for coming on with me today.
It's my pleasure.
I got to tell you, man, you are one of those guys. When I was in my 20s and thinking about getting into radio, and every Sunday night I would listen to you and Adam Carolla, who's been on my show many times and I know remains a friend of yours. And what you guys created with Loveline a million years ago, that was really cool. You guys did some exceptional stuff back then.
Thanks. We didn't know any better. We just sat down and answered questions.
I know. That's the key to all of our success, I think. Okay, as you know, Drew, Seattle area where we are, Kirkland, Washington, to be precise, has a retirement home, Life Care Center of Kirkland, that has been the ground zero. I think that has now morphed over to New York City, but we were ground zero the first couple of weeks. And that's why everybody here was paying such close attention to what you were saying. And early on, you were at least tossing out the possibility that the media was gravely overreacting on this. Is that a fair capsulation of what you said?
I'm not sure overreaction is the right word, but that they were hell-bent on panicking the public. And I was gravely concerned about that, and I'm still concerned about it. I am now in a situation where they've done their job, and I have just tons of people depressed, panicked. I have to talk off the ledge all day. This is hard enough. What I said was, listen to the CDC, listen to Dr. Fauci. I've been alongside him since the AIDS epidemic. He was my North Star then, and he is now. And do what they tell you, and we will be fine. To have these extreme stories of doomsday on the front page of papers and in lead stories on television is not only not helping, it's actually harming people. It's harming the country, and it's harming patients.
And so here's the challenge for all of us, because I don't think you would find anybody in the media who is more skeptical, cynical of our government than I. And the only entity I think less of than government is most of the mainstream media. And so I'm very cynical in these regards. And yet early on, kind of the mathematician in me said, this is legit. I mean, this has the potential, even if some are exaggerating the health impact. It was clear that the economic impact was going to be massive and devastating. And covering just that part of the story meant that we were going to be talking about something pretty darn dramatic here.
That part, I would argue, is not covered enough, because that's the part we're all actually living. And that's the part that's creating all of our anxiety and the lack of ability to plan the future or even have hope for the future. We should be doing more stories about that, not less, rather than stories that suggest that, you know, millions and millions of Americans are going to die. That was absolutely irresponsible and continues to be. Yeah, I agree with you that to be skeptical, but to, again, there's an organization and some professionals that do nothing but respond to these things, and that's Fauci and the CDC. And yes, it was, it of course, needed to be taken seriously. Of course it was going to be a serious outbreak. But the way they continued and were reporting it was literally causing everybody I was coming in contact with to believe that they were going to die of this illness. That's the level of anxiety that they've created in this country, and that is so far false, so far from the truth, where 80% of us are going to be fine if we get it, and we don't even know yet what percentage are going to get it.
And here's what I'm worried about, and I've talked about this a lot on other issues. We're talking with Dr. Drew Pinsky, by the way, and Dr. Drew, one of the things that I worry about gravely is I think that we've got a lot of forces that want to use emotion to drive agendas. And a perfect example is gun control, where we have turned our children. Public schools are about the safest place a child can be in America. And yet we have convinced them that they're going to be slaughtered in a bloodbath. And now we have more kids who have anxiety and are committing suicide than ever before. And I would say that the anxiety is worse than the so-called original problem. And I'm afraid of that here, too, that whatever fix we are doing for the economy, for COVID-19, that if it does destroy the economy for my children, for my yet-to-be unborn grandchildren, that if we go back to depression times and we have people who have lost their business and cannot provide for their family, that we might have more people committing suicide and dying from that than from the virus itself.
Oh, absolutely. Look, there are more people dying of drug addiction every day than dying of this illness. And so it's something that is not being attended. But your point is exactly my point. It's you're looking at the, what should we call it? This is the other virus amongst us. It's the one that's causing mental health consequences because they're using our mental health to try to push their agenda is to sell papers, really, when you get right down to it, or to capture our eyes on television. And that's fine. They're a commercial enterprise. But please don't talk to me then about journalistic integrity. Don't. Your point about guns and school safety is exactly the same point I'm making about this illness.
Well, and when we talk about these competing agendas, the president said he's hopeful about this drug, chloroquine, which I hope that it has some effect if people are, you know, deathly ill with COVID-19. And, you know, Anthony Fauci has kind of tapped the brakes a little bit and said, I'd like to see a little more medically controlled studies of this. But then out of all of that madness, Drew, we get the media jumping in and saying that because some dude in Arizona drank fish tank cleaner, that somehow President Trump's optimism about maybe this drug will someday prove to be an ally in this fight. But all of a sudden it becomes Donald Trump killed a man because he convinced him to drink aquarium cleaner. And it's just such a bizarre set of agendas that goes with stories that have no basis in reality whatsoever.
And there is tremendous enthusiasm in the medical community for hydroxychloroquine. Dr.
Yeah.
Fauci is a scientist. He is not allowed to draw any conclusions till he has the data. The clinicians are using it like crazy to great effect. So, look, it is nobody. One of the other things I keep saying is that the U.S. healthcare system gets compared against other countries with all sorts of measures of quality. None of them take into account a situation like this. No one does better in circumstances like this than the U.S. healthcare system, both in terms of meeting the needs, taking care of people, and innovating and dealing with an epidemic like this. We will have, by the end of next week, I'm certain we are going to have a bunch of ideas that is going to turn this thing around. And hydroxychloroquine already is being deployed, believe me, on a wide-scale basis, and doctors are seeing good results.
I don't know particularly how you feel about Donald Trump, but how do you feel the administration's handling all this?
I think the CDC's done a good job. Dr. Fauci, of course, done a good job. I'm not sure the messaging has been that great, and the testing issue has been sort of a problem. I'd like to see. I don't know how they solve that one, though. I really don't. I don't have a specific solution for it. But you know, the areas in which they've been criticized the most is where I would come to support them. The areas you've already brought up, which is to talk about hopeful treatments. Absolutely, they should be talking about that. To talk about hopeful timelines, we need that desperately. If they turn out not to be true, okay. But we need some road forward. We need an ability to be hopeful, to have plan for our future. Whatever else, you know, to be critical of those things is really to hurt people.
And I know we just have a minute left here, but I'm here in Seattle. Yesterday, the Seattle NPR station announced that they would no longer broadcast the White House coronavirus task force because there were mistruths coming out of it. And what we've seen is these briefings have had Monday Night Football type ratings. And now I just get the sense that the media en masse is horribly annoyed because this is not working out for their overall agenda, which is they want to bring down the president. And that's where I think facts get lost in something as important as this virus and what's happening to our economy, because I just think there are competing agendas that are far higher priority than the truth of the coronavirus and how we all need to get past this as a nation.
If they are politicizing a dangerous medical situation where everyone in the country is being affected, our lives are being upended, and they still want to make it a political they should be ashamed of themselves. That's deeply disappointing. You can like or not like or agree or not agree. That's later. Let's get through this thing first.
Yep. All right. Dr. Drew, it's a real pleasure having you on. You're a real prominent voice very early on in this coronavirus outbreak, and I love hearing your perspective. Everybody should go check out drdrew.com, and you can link up to all of his podcasts and all of his other ventures. But it's really nice having you on with me. I really appreciate it today.
It was a pleasure.
All right. Dr. Drew Pinsky joining us. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you just heard from Dr. Drew. And he was a skeptic early on. He said the media was hyping this. We've all come to learn that this is a legit story. But now it's about how are we going to cover this in the most responsible way going forward. So you can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Wow. We are seeing a surge in the final 10 minutes before the close on Wall Street. Markets close in 7 minutes. The Dow is up 1,200 points now. It's added several hundred points just in the last few minutes. So it's at 22,400. So another almost 6% gain today. So many of the losses just in the last, what's today's day? In the last 3 days, the Dow is up nearly 21%. This is why it is such folly to try to time the markets. My goodness. And people think the sky is falling and they sell at the bottom and then they miss the surge. But right now, the Dow up nearly 21% in the last 4 days. That is crazy. Crazy money. So everybody likes the bailout that is being put together by the feds. We'll keep posted on that. Got a lot of other news to talk about. Part of the Fastest 15 and a huge Seattle anniversary that we will mark in the next hour. All straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show.